Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. It is a delight to have you in our audience this evening. We want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 855-QA-Bible. That's 855-QA-Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and with me in this program, my good friend David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and we again are delighted to have you in our listening audience. We want you to remember that our motto is, and will always be, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Today we're going to be talking about why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. You may have wondered, and if you haven't, I hope you will, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? Well, David and I tonight are going to talk about why we are a member of the Church of Christ. We hope you will listen in. We hope that you'll call in with questions or comments.
We also want to welcome, and by the way, we want to remind you that this phone number is a toll-free number. It won't cost you anything to call the number. It is a toll-free number. We'll pick up the charge there. We also want to introduce one of our guests tonight. Luis Camacho was from KnowTheTruthRadio.org, and he is also the technical advisor for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. And so I want to turn it over to Luis. He has a few things that he would like to say to us, and then we will jump into our program.
And thank you very much for the invitation to be here with you guys and be able to broadcast God's Word. And we're very blessed to have you as part of our broadcast under the KnowTheTruthRadio.org website. And for those of you that are listening on KnowTheTruthRadio.org, there is a little chat box. It's a little green box that you can click, and we can talk back and forth, and we can read your comments on air. But in any case, we're glad that you're broadcasting here live out of Stephenville, Texas. We appreciate the fact that you've accepted the invitation to work with us and be able to reach souls globally through our Internet website.
Well, we're excited to be able to be a part of this great radio. It's going to be a very good effort in reaching really around the world, David.
Right, no doubt about it. And we are excited. It's another opportunity, a new opportunity. In addition to broadcasting now on the High Plains Radio Network, which will include all of the people out in and around Death County and Eastland County also, we are now on the KnowTheTruthRadio.org, which is going internationally. We want to take just a moment to thank our sponsors, the sponsors of this program, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Dublin Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, and the Rising Star Street Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas. Also, 4th and Stewart in Brownwood, Texas, the Church of Christ there. We want to thank them. Ryan Smithy is our webmaster, and there are a lot of things here that we couldn't do without him. Isn't that true, Tom?
Exactly. And we might want to ask Luis if he might mention one more thing about the Hispanic program that he's got that works also through the Know the Truth radio program.
Well, that's a very good question. We have websites that we host all these other domains. It's under radio40.org. And we work primarily with the Brown Trail School of Preaching Spanish-speaking departments. And we work with a lot of preachers. We have about 13 to 15 on the Spanish side, and we broadcast about over 18 hours of live broadcasting throughout the week. We have, for instance, unasolafe.org, which means only one faith.org. We also have another website called The Truth Network, which is laverdadnetwork.org. We also have 30AD.net, which is hosted by Miguel Garcia out of the Northwest Iglesia de Cristo, which is the Church of Christ. And we also have the Brown Trail Radio Network, which is btradio.net. So if you're listening tonight, you know somebody that speaks Espanol or speaks Spanish, you can direct them to radio40.org, and there's a variety of program there that they can tune into. If they have a question or an email, all the information is on there, and they are more than welcome to get a hold of us and contact us if anyone has any questions.
Excellent. Now remember, you are listening to the HPR network, and we have some fairly new listeners. Hereford, Texas, the KNNK 101.1, and we are delighted that you are now listening in, and also KATX 97.7. We were told today that the only thing we're waiting on now is FCC approval. Everything's ready to go, and very soon the radio broadcast is going to reach in the Stephenville area and even further south, hopefully all the way to Hamilton, but we'll just have to wait and see. But we're looking for that to occur very, very soon. Monty's doing a great job on that, and we really appreciate his efforts in that area. David, we have last week began talking about why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And the question that we ask is, to those who are members, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? Is it because that's the one that your mom and dad were always a member of? Is it because it's the one that's perhaps closest to your building or to your home? Is it because it's the one that has the nicest building? Exactly why are you a member of the religious organization that you are? And last week, David, we looked at a couple of items that began to discuss why we are what we believe we are.
Well, the first thing that we noticed was I am, and this is the way we would like to answer the question, I am a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded by the scriptural builder, Christ himself. And this is a very important thing to understand, because if the church is not built by a scriptural builder, then it's built by someone that is unscriptural. And we know that there are somewhere around 3,000 different religious organizations out there in the world today. How can you know that the place where you have chosen to worship is founded upon and by the scriptural builder?
Exactly. No, this is really a very serious thing to consider, because if we are in the wrong religious group, we're going to miss heaven.
Sure.
And so it's worth checking out, isn't it, David?
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing that we're doing here on this earth is trying to figure out how to get to heaven.
Exactly. I want to go to heaven, don't you?
You better believe I do.
And I want to get as many people as I can to come with us. And so all we're doing is asking you to, with an open mind, look to the Scripture to find out, am I really doing what the Bible has to say? Now, remember, we want you to call in. It's a live call-in talk show. The number to call, 855 QA question. Call in with your question or comment.
Right. Now, last week we considered the fact that Jesus Christ founded the church, and we know that because the Bible tells us that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he told Peter and the rest of the apostles, upon this rock, upon the confession that he is the Son of God, I will build my church. And we went from there and showed where Jesus Christ established. He was the scriptural founder of the church there last week. And so this is the number one reason that we are members of the Church of Christ, because Jesus Christ is the scriptural founder. He is the scriptural builder of that church.
Exactly. And so when we look at this idea where Jesus said that I am that rock, that confession that Peter made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, upon this rock, that confession, he said, I'm going to build my church.
Right.
Now, that's singular. Now, we're going to talk more about that in days coming, but we need to realize, David, that not only are we a member of the Church of Christ because of those two items you just mentioned, but also I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded at the scriptural place, Jerusalem.
Now, why would that be important?
Well, you know, if a person should be a member of a church founded in London or Rome or Salt Lake City or New York, he can't be a member of the Lord's Church because the Lord's Church was not founded in any of those places.
Now, how do we know that?
Well, let's begin by looking at the Bible.
Absolutely.
Isn't that the best place to look?
And it goes right back to our motto. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And so if we go back to the Bible, if we go back to the origin of the church, we're going to find it.
Exactly.
We're going to find it. And so you've got to get back to the Bible. And the church was prophesied years before, 700 and some odd years before the church was ever established. Isaiah told us where the church would be established. I hope you have that scripture there with
you. We do. In Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 2 and 3. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. There the text says, "And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established upon the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah's house, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem."
Out of Zion, out of Jerusalem will go that word. So the word had to first proceed from the city of Jerusalem. That is where the founding place was. That is where the church was established, was right there in Jerusalem, exalted above all nations. All nations would flow into it. And the time when the fulfillment would be the latter days, or the last days, or in the Christian age, the last days that we are living in today.
So we see here that the Lord's house is the church, and Isaiah tells us that it was going to be established in Jerusalem in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, when we turn over into the New Testament, Jesus, in giving his worldwide commission, also taught that Jerusalem was going to be the starting place of the church.
No doubt about it. After the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and for those of you who have your Bibles, we would encourage you to take those Bibles and read these passages with us. After all, what Tom and I say is irrelevant here if it does not match up exactly with what the Bible has to say. And that's all we want to do here, is to point out the truth. This is our purpose for this radio program, is to point out the truth of God to the rest of the world. The world is a religious world.
Exactly.
But many of the people in the religious world, Tom, are just absolutely religiously wrong.
Exactly. You know, let me give you a brief illustration of why it's so important for us to go to the Bible to prove these things. I had been writing some articles in a newspaper here recently about baptism, and one person wanted to try to prove me wrong, and he quoted the poet Milton to try to disprove what I was saying from the scriptures. Friends, we can't quote any man or any poet. We're going to have to go to the Word of God. And that's what we do here. And we challenge you that if you disagree with us, we want you to use the scripture, and we're willing to talk with you about this topic.
No doubt about that. No doubt about it. Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. I want you to see with me in verse number 44. I want us to back up to Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. Jesus now is resurrected. He comes to his apostles, and he wants to give them one last piece of information for them to garner, to get this church established. This was the purpose for him here on this church, to establish the church so that people could be saved in the body. In verse number 44, "And he said unto them," that's the apostles, "these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets," and we just read those prophets, "and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." And watch this, Tom. "Beginning at Jerusalem." Is that not what Isaiah said?
Exactly.
"Beginning at Jerusalem. And then he said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high."
So, David, from this passage, we notice that Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead before repentance and remission of sins could be preached in his name.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the proclamation of this message was to begin in Jerusalem. And thirdly, we also see from this passage that they were to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, that is, by the Comforter, in John chapter 14 and verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to remind you that you are listening to the HPR Network, and we want you to remember that you're also listening to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. The topic that we're looking at today is why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Now, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. And we also encourage you that if you are listening online at the knowthetruthradio.org, there is a chat box, a little green box at the bottom you can punch, and you can begin to be involved in asking questions or comments. We also encourage you to check out our webpage, the harrisonmoore.org webpage that contains back radio programs that you can listen to. We also want to encourage you to look up the fromthepreacherspc.org blog, which contains valuable information and good study helps. We also want you to remember to tune in to or to go to the KnowTheTruthRadio.org. It also has a good blog that you can check into. And also look us up on Facebook and Twitter. David, we're looking at why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And we've talked about how that we are a member of the Church of Christ. Presently, we're talking about because it was founded at the scriptural place, Jerusalem.
This is just another one of the proofs that we have the right church.
Exactly. Now, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that it was going to occur in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did Jesus say?
Jesus said to his disciples that this was the prophecy that came and that it would be prophesied. He made them look back at the Psalms. He made them look back at the prophets. He made them look back at the law, and the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. In all three places, it is testified toward this end that the church would be set up in Jerusalem. And he told his apostles, "You go there and you wait until you be endued with power from on high, because there is where the church is going to start, in that city of Jerusalem, and from there the truth is going to come out."
Exactly. So Isaiah prophesied that this was going to take place in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told us it was going to take place in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, let's go and look at the New Testament fulfillment that this indeed occurred as Isaiah. And we might also mention that men like Micah and Zechariah prophesied of the very same thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, let's look. The Holy Spirit told us that Jesus was going to go away, didn't he?
Yes. And actually, Jesus told his disciples.
Told his disciples, yes.
That the Holy Spirit would not come until he did go away. Mm-hmm. And we read that in John chapter 16 and verse 7. And for those of you who have your Bible there, in John chapter 16 and verse 7, look at it again if you will. It says there, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So he had to leave before the Holy Spirit would come and guide them in all the truth.
Exactly. And then you'll notice over there in chapter 17, right,
mm-hmm,
in verse 8, we see this really coming true, don't we?
Right. He says, "For I have given them," in a prayer to the Father,
uh-huh,
he says, "For I, Father, have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them." And so they have got the words now as Jesus departs, as Jesus is going to be crucified, buried, and then resurrected. The apostles are going to have the words. Now, the apostles, they also saw Jesus ascend into heaven after he gave them those instructions in Luke chapter 24. It is repeated again in Acts chapter 1.
Exactly. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "And when they said these things, they were looking, and he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So here, the apostles now see Jesus being taken out of their sight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus said, when that occurs, what was going to happen?
That the Holy Spirit was going to
happen. So now we got Jesus leaving, and the Holy Spirit we're going to see now is about to come.
So when the power comes, the Holy Spirit is going to come.
And when we find out when the power come and the Holy Spirit come, where's it going to take place?
The church is going to come. The church will be established.
And it's going to be where?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
And everything else that is not like it says here in the Bible is not going to be founded at the scriptural, biblical place that Jesus Christ said it would be.
Exactly. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE if you have a question or a comment. That's 855-QA-BIBLE. Now, the apostles were commanded, David, weren't they, to tarry in Jerusalem, Acts 24 and verse 49. Luke 24 and verse 49. And after the apostles watched the Lord ascend, they returned into Jerusalem, Acts 1 and verse 12, which is the appointed place, and there they tarried.
There they waited. They waited right there for that power to come on high that Jesus promised them would come back in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. So when we get to Acts chapter 2, the apostles are in Jerusalem. They're waiting there in Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. And when we get to Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of what Jesus said would come to pass in the first four verses.
Exactly.
Acts chapter 2. Read it with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, let's get this picture. They're in Jerusalem. It's on the day of Pentecost. This is a Jewish festival.
We might ask there, David, it says in verse 1, they. Who's the they?
Well, if you look back up there at verse number 26, it talks about the apostles.
Oh, so you'll see then that a personal pronoun or a plural pronoun always goes back to the next people mentioned.
Sure.
And there it is mentioned what?
In chapter 1, verse 26, he's talking about the apostles.
Exactly.
And the very next verse, it says they.
Exactly.
Talking about those apostles. Now, they were there, and this was a time in Jerusalem when there were hundreds of thousands of people gathered there for this Jewish feast of the Pentecost. And while they were there, this mighty rushing wind came. And when this mighty rushing wind came, it made such a noise that people came and gathered up. And it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we'll touch on that in just a moment. I understand we got a phone call. Tom?
Well, we did, but I think we lost it, and so if that caller will try again, we'll give her a shot.
Okay. Well, give us another call back. Give us another call back, and we will answer that question. Now, this day of Pentecost that we're talking about, it is 50 days after the Passover.
Uh-huh.
50 days later, that's 49 Sabbaths plus one. 49 Saturdays plus one puts you on Sunday morning, first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what you call simple math, isn't it?
Simple math, yes, sir.
You know, I hate to interject, and I'm sure you guys don't mind.
No, we do.
But I had a conversation with a person of the denominational type, and he said, you know, I've been here at this place for this long, and, you know, we acknowledge the day of Pentecost and this day, and he went on and on, and he went all over the board, and he says, you know, and that's why we are okay with the Sabbath, you know, still observing the Sabbath. I go, do you know what the word Pentecost means? He said, no. Well, let me show you the math on how that works. And so we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way to 49. I asked him, what is 49 plus 1? And it landed on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, guys, how difficult is that?
That is not difficult at all.
Not difficult at all. So if we just open our eyes,
mm-hmm.
question and think about what we're reading actively,
sure.
we can all come to the knowledge of the truth, just like they did back in the New Testament.
No doubt.
After that conversation was, well, the conversation pretty much ended, and he says, well, I don't believe that. Well, if I can't convince you with simple math,
mm-hmm.
then how else can we get you to understand what Scripture says?
And that's the trouble with a lot of people in the world. You confront them with the truth, but it's not what they want to believe. and they just refuse the truth of God's word.
You know, it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth. Because with a lie, you don't have to research it. You don't have to open the Bible. You don't have to just, all you have to do is say, you know, okay, I believe it. But when you read Scripture, you open your Bible and you're going to have to do a little bit of work.
Right.
And you're going to have to be versed in what it is that you're reading. And, you know, and one of the things that I stress a lot with people is, what does the historical context say and how does it apply today? Simple
sure.
as that.
If there is no application of this word, Louise, Tom, if there is no application of this word, then we just have words on paper, and it's meaningless. There's got to be an application to what we're talking about here. And this is one of the reasons that we keep going back to our motto, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's just hear what the Bible has to say. Let's throw out what men have had to say before. Let's just focus on what God has to say here, and then apply it to our lives. And let's all be just plain old Christians.
Exactly. And let's be honest with the truth.
Absolutely
because,
honest with the truth.
Because, you know, our eternal destiny is at stake, and our pride can get in the way of us getting to heaven if we're not careful.
Right.
So we're going to have to just simply be honest with the truth. Now, if David and I are wrong, and you call in and you show us from the Scriptures where we're wrong, you'll be our best friend. If you'll show us from the Scripture where we're wrong.
Absolutely.
Because we have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Okay, we are on the topic of why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And we want to, again, welcome our stations that are here, KNNK, KATX, the High Plains Radio Network, and also we want to welcome KnowTheTruthRadio.org. Our phone number, if you wish to call in, and we would encourage you to do so with questions or comments, the phone number is very simple to remember, toll-free number, 855-QA-BIBLE. If you don't want to do that, you can email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can check our webpage at harrisonmoore.org. You can go to Facebook and catch us on there, or you can even look in the chat box right now at KnowTheTruth.org. Leave us a message there. We will answer your call. I do have an email before we go to break, and the email comes in from Denny. In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, we learned that the kingdom was going to come in the lifetime of some of those standing there, meaning that it was coming pretty quickly. It was going to come with power, which is what Luke 24 and Acts chapter 2 tell us. The passage that you mentioned last week makes it clear that the kingdom includes the discussion of the church in Matthew chapter 16. Now, when the people heard the sermon preached with power, quoting the prophets and the Psalms, the people obeyed the gospel, and the Lord added the saved to his church, Acts chapter 2. And that is a very, very poignant statement that is made here by Denny, and we really, really appreciate that comment.
Exactly. You know, and I think Denny was the one that was trying to call in maybe a while ago, and we're trying to work in a new phone system, and I wasn't quick enough on the draw. But if y'all call in next time, we can do better. And we're about time to take a break on the radio aspect of this. And so we'll keep on with the Internet program, but you are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the DeLeon Church of Christ in DeLeon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible from our radio audience. We're thankful that you're with us, and remember, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. And if you'd also like to email a question, you can email a question at questions@harrisonmoore.org. You can also go to the chat box, and there you can listen in and ask questions through the chat box. Now, David, we have a comment that was asked by Carl on the chat box.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked this. I said, before the night is over, if possible, could you address the fact that the church is not the best, he puts in quotes, denomination, but it is the church you read about in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good question, because people have a lot of misconception about, they think that the church in the Bible is really just another denomination.
Right.
But even the word denomination itself tells us that the church Jesus built could not be a denomination.
No, not at all. And here's why. And we'll go back to that, and we'll pick it up further along, but it's very good that it's mentioned right here, because, and we're talking about the day that the church was established on the day of Pentecost. That's where we ended up at our break. There in chapter 2 and verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, we mentioned just a moment ago how that Jesus said, you go to Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They went to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and we are told them that they were, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, those other tongues are languages, languages that they never had learned before, the languages that they were going to need, because if you read on down there for the next 8 verses, you're going to find that there were 16 different nations of people there speaking with different tongues. They spoke to those individuals in the tongue that they were most familiar with, so there wouldn't be any misunderstanding of what the Holy Spirit was telling them that they ought to know about the church. Now, what they were going to do is establish the church. They were not establishing a denomination.
Exactly. You know, when you think about the word denomination, it means to denominate,
mm-hmm.
to break up into pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I find it interesting that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things. Now, notice, that there be no divisions
mm-hmm.
among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind
mm-hmm.
and the same judgment. In essence, is what Paul is saying here, there should be no denomination.
None
you should
all.
Not be divided. And yet that's what denominationalism is all about.
Yes, it
division.
Is. If you want to get a real good word picture of a denomination, you can have one or you can have many. If I give you a $1 bill, you've got one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I give you 100 pennies, you've got 100 denominations of that one.
Exactly.
And that is what we're talking about here.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that upon this rock, Peter's confession, I will build my
church.
Singular.
And there is no denominational
church. Now, that's
church.
A hard thing for people to fathom in our world today, because there are so many different denominations in the world. And as we mentioned earlier, 3,000, probably much more than that, different denominations. But we're not talking about the Church of Christ denomination. We're talking about the Church of Christ, the church that he established on the day of Pentecost.
Right, right. Now, we want to encourage you to call in. The number to call is 855-QA-BIBLE. I promise that Tom will do a better job of hooking you in this next time. He kind of fumbles around there. His hands are a little
bit big. Don't be making promises for me.
But we will get you hooked back in if you will just call in again and help us with a question or a comment. You can also email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, or get on that chat box at knowthetruthradio.org also.
We want to say hello to those of you listening in Amarillo, Texas, Durant, Oklahoma, Snyder, Texas, Quitman, Texas, also over in the Temple, Texas area, and Killeen, Texas. I want to thank you, all of you, for listening on Know the Truth Radio, and you're listening to a fantastic broadcast tonight based on God's Word.
Thank you, Luis. Appreciate that.
Now, we are talking about, David, here, the fulfillment of the prophecies that Isaiah and Jesus made, that the Lord's church was going to be established in Jerusalem.
Right.
We've already looked at John at chapter 6 and verse 7 and John 17 and verse 8, where Jesus says that when I leave, the Holy Spirit was going to be given to the apostles. Acts 1 and verse 9, we see Jesus leaving. And now we find ourselves, as you read there a moment ago, we kind of need to pick up on that again, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
This is on the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, when we look at verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," that is 50 days, 50 full days after the Passover. 50 full days have gone by now. They apostles, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's just exactly what Jesus said would happen back there in John chapter 16 and verse 13. And so when we look at this, we see that it's all come to fruition here. It is all happening just exactly the way that Jesus said it was going to happen, and now we're going to have the establishment of the church take place.
Goodbye.
Uh-oh.
Well, we just got disconnected again. I don't know what's going on, David, but there was a little female voice that we got disconnected. So we're going to keep trying. We might get this down before long.
Okay, we may have to give this to our technical advisor over here. But anyway, you just keep trying. We'll keep putting you on the air. If you'll just keep dialing that phone, we will get it to you. We will get it to you. And so now we get back to the day of Pentecost here. Now we've got them at the day of Pentecost. The word of the Lord is going to go forth. And we were told that all the way back in the prophets, Tom, Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 4, the word is going to go forth from Jerusalem, and now we have this fulfillment in prophecy. Now, these individuals are going to speak the word. They're going to preach the word to them as the Holy Spirit has given it to them in Acts chapter 2. And so when they start preaching the first gospel sermon that is recorded, it is recorded in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. That is a gospel sermon recorded there. And so we can read the whole thing, but for time purposes, we're not going to be able to do so. But if you will look with me at verse number 36, if you have your Bibles handy in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, I want you to see here what the apostles, Peter and the rest of the apostles, told those men that were listening there, that were actually interested in how to go to heaven. He says this to them, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly." And he's talking to all of those Jews there. "Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now do we have our phone caller on there?
David, I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and question or comment, we sure would appreciate it. Caller, are you on the line there? Give us your name and a question, and we'll address it, please.
This is Denny Wilson in Snyder, Texas.
Hey,
Denny.
How are
you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thank you. Appreciate your patience with us.
It's good to have you on the line, Denny. What question you got?
Well, I was just the last question that you had that came from the chat room. You know, one of the things I was thinking about is in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says that there's only one foundation that can be built upon, and that foundation is Christ. So, if, you know, in common sense, if you have a building that has multiple foundations, you know, you're having multiple buildings, not just one building. In order for there to be one building, one church, it has to have the same foundation. And that's not the denominational founder. That's not a different location around the world. There can only be one place where that foundation began, and that is in Jerusalem, with Jesus Christ, the foundation, and then we build upon that by adding souls to it, those living stones, as we preach and teach the gospel and as people obey the gospel.
And that is a very good comment, and especially I like the fact that you bring out Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, because here again we get very specific about where salvation is. He says there, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only salvation through Christ. And if that's the case, then the church that he built is going to be where the salvation is. Is that not true, Denny?
That's absolutely right.
Okay. So,
only in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Great call. I appreciate the call very much. I'm going to hand you back over to Tom.
Well, I'm glad we finally were able to work out the telephone scenario. Maybe we'll get it down without much effort in the past. Denny, appreciate your call. You got anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just going to add to that.
Okay.
John 14:6 makes it very clear.
Yes.
There's only one way to heaven.
That's
only
right.
One way to the Father, through Jesus Christ. So all these other systems in this world today that says everybody's okay, every path is okay, every church is okay, it's sure contrary to what Jesus said.
And would that not also disprove denominationalism, which means to divide and diminish? Would you just say there's one way?
There's only one way.
Exactly. Well, Denny, we really appreciate you calling in. We look forward to having you in the air for too long, too.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Denny.
See you later.
Well, great call. Great call. We are now at the point here where the first gospel sermon is being preached, and upon that first gospel sermon being preached, the question then is asked. After the gospel sermon is preached, the question now is asked. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, the Jews crucified Jesus the Christ. And when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, it was then that they knew that they were in deep trouble. And I understand we got another phone caller. Caller, if you will give us your first name and your question or your comment, we'd love to entertain.
Caller, give us your name and your question, and we'll gladly address it. Are you still there, caller? Hello?
Get him off speaker.
Tom, did you do it again?
Well, let's see here. Michael, are you there?
Oh, we're rolling in now.
Get him.
Hello.
Michael, you on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right, Michael, here we are. Finally got this thing working out right here. We're having a little haywire here with this guy, but you got a question or comment, Michael?
Well, we sure do enjoy y'all's program over here in Bangs, and I asked you the accidentally called you. I hit the wrong button on my phone tonight.
Well, I'm glad you accidentally called in, Micah. We're talking about why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and we're talking about how it was founded in Jerusalem. And we had a question earlier about denominationalism and how that the church is not a denomination. What you got to say about that, Michael?
Well, certainly I think that when you look at the prophetic comments in the Bible, when you do have prophecies relative to where it was supposed to start, then that is a very pertinent point to bring out in the discussion when it comes to any religion. If it doesn't begin where God's truth is going to, that would be an inappropriate starting place for someone to try to build a religion on.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Exactly. Good point there. Well, Micah, we're glad you accidentally called in. That's all.
Well, me too. I had a good listen last week and thoroughly enjoyed it. And y'all keep up the good work, and we look forward to talking to y'all again in the future.
All right. I appreciate it, Michael.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, we've now addressed this a couple of times through the phone calls. After the first gospel sermon that was preached, right there in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, it was then that we have the church established. And by asking this question, when he proposed this to them, "You Jews killed Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, when they heard this, verse number 37 says they were pricked in their hearts. And it says there, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That is the question that every listener out there tonight needs to ask themselves. What must I do to go to heaven? These guys wanted to go to heaven.
Exactly. You know, when they heard that gospel sermon preached by Peter, they realized that they had crucified the Son of God. They wanted to know
mm-hmm.
what to do to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of God's glory, and that sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. And so we ought to be asking the same question.
Sure.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, they have been accused of the sin of killing the Son of God.
Exactly.
Crucifying the Son of God. You Jews killed him. So now they're saying, okay, we've messed up. We've committed a horrible, horrible sin here. What must we do? What can we do to get this sin off of us?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer was given, the terms of entrance. The answer to how to get rid of sin are exactly the same terms of entrance into the church.
Exactly. And you might remember back last week, David, how we talked about when Peter made that great confession
mm-hmm.
that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Peter and Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "I will give unto thee the keys into the kingdom."
Right.
Well, right here we see those keys being used, don't we?
Absolutely. They open up the door, and they get rid of sin at the same time.
Exactly. And Peter's response to that question there on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Mm-hmm.
Be baptized, for, in order to obtain, the remission of your sins.
You see, the problem is, and what a lot of denominationalism does not teach, is that we cannot go to heaven with our sin. We can't take it with us. We've got to leave it behind, and there's only one way to get rid of it. And it is not the sinner's prayer. It is not some other way that some man has devised. There's only one way to the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Danny mentioned it just a moment ago. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." If we want to go to heaven, we want to go to the Father, we're going to have to do it Jesus' way, or we're not going to get there.
Exactly. Now, David, we have a good friend of ours in our audience tonight who told me that he would be willing to give anybody $1,000 if they could find in the Bible the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to challenge you for that, because our good friend Louise says he has $1,000 he's going to give anyone who can find anywhere in the Bible where the sinner's prayer is.
And that's a good point.
It is. When God told them on the day of Pentecost to be baptized, he said nothing about the sinner's prayer.
No, he did not.
It has to be in Scripture.
Exactly.
So $1,000, I will give you $1,000 if you can find the sinner's prayer in Scripture.
Yeah, not on a little card, not in some man-made commentary, but in the B-I-B-L-E.
Absolutely.
And so we realize there on the day of Pentecost when God, through the Holy Spirit, told Peter how to answer those people who had the question, what must we do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
He said to do what, David?
Repent. That's the first thing we've got to do. And that calls for a change of action and a change of mind,
exactly.
A change of heart. We've got to stop doing what we were doing and start doing what God said to do. And in these Jews' case, they had to stop following the law of Judaism or the Mosaic law, and they had to start following the law of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is over here in the New Testament at the establishment of his church. And here it is. Repent. We've got to change, and then we've got to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ by the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is for a purpose. It's not just to get wet. It's not just some kind of a ceremony that we go through. But it actually remits sin. It actually forgives sin. And Acts chapter 22, verse 16 says it washes sin away. And so this is where we stand. Repent and be baptized. That's what they were told to do in order to go to heaven. That's what they were told to do to get rid of that sin.
And I find it interesting, David, that just a few verses down, it says, then they that gladly received his word were what?
Baptized.
And they were added unto them in that day 3,000 souls.
So out of 100,000 souls or 200,000 souls or 300,000 souls that may have been there on that day of Pentecost, only 3,000 responded.
Exactly.
Only 3,000 had an honest heart that was that were receptive to the message that was preached that day. They wanted to go to heaven, and the rest of them either rejected the word or they decided that they could do it a different way.
And so they gladly received this word, David. They were baptized, and then in verse 47, the concluding verse of that chapter, what does it say?
It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Now, that word church, was that plural or singular?
That is one. It is church. It
that is
one.
The same church that Jesus promised to build, right?
And
that is the same church that was established on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
And so when they were baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, which they gladly did, they were then added to the Lord's church.
That's exactly where the Lord put them. Now, I've got a question for you, Tom. When the Lord said that he would add to the church daily such as should be saved, when he said that, did he leave anybody out that should have been added?
No.
Now, the next question I got for you is this. Did he put anybody in there that should not have been?
No, he did not. When God set forth the stipulation on how to get in, you had to abide by those stipulations to get in.
Right.
It's almost like when you look back into the flood and the ark. Only those who were in the ark were saved.
Right.
Only those who entered into the ark were saved. All those outside the ark were lost. Only those who are in the Lord's church are saved.
Right.
And you have to abide by what Jesus, well, Peter used, gave us the keys to it, didn't he?
Sure.
And so if we want to be a part of that church that Jesus established on the day of Pentecost, the first thing that we're really going to have to do in our travel to entrance into the church is what, David?
Repent. First of all, we've got to hear the word of God,
right.
And that's just exactly what these individuals did here. They heard the word of God. When they heard that word of God, it pricked their heart. They then knew that there was something that needed to be done. They felt a desire then, a burning desire in their heart to do something about their sinful situation. So they heard the word of God. They believed the word
of
God.
Now, how do we know they believed? How do we know they believed in Jesus? Well, they were worried about crucifying who?
The Son of God.
The Son of God. And so they realized, hey, this is the Son of God. So they heard the word, they believed it, and then Peter told them they had to do what?
Repent.
Repent. That meant what?
Change your ways. You're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to have to change your ways. You're going to have to change the way you worship. You're going to have to change a lot of things in your life to be approved of by God.
Exactly. And you know, Jesus said, also in this equation in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, that if we don't confess him before men, he will not confess us before our Father which is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have to hear God's word and believe in Jesus, be willing to repent of our sins, change our life, be willing to confess him. Now, that means more than just speaking verbally, doesn't it, David?
Yes, it does. But it does mean that we are not ashamed of Christ.
Exactly.
We are willing to confess him before mankind. We are not ashamed to confess him before men. And also that we live the life through a confession of our actions.
Exactly. Now, David, this is what the Bible says.
Yes. Absolutely.
This is not what some little card says that someone might hand it to you or some little booklet. We're telling you exactly what the Bible has to say. Now, Peter said you also have to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins.
Right.
But Jesus said it a different way in Mark 16, verse 16, didn't he?
In Mark 16, verse 16, he says, he told the disciples there, go ye therefore and preach. Go you therefore and teach all nations, preach the gospel.
Uh-huh. And in Mark 16, verse 8, he that believeth and is
baptized shall be saved.
Exactly. And so Jesus said it. Peter said it on the day of Pentecost. And then in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, he says, whereunto a like figure baptism
does now. Also now save us.
Exactly. And you know, and didn't Paul says something about this in Acts 22, verse 16, that the baptism does what?
It washes away your sins. So baptism is for the remission of our sins. Now, if a person wants to be a member of the Lord's body, then a person is going to have to go through the terms of entrance into the body. And this is what saves our soul. And we're about out of time for our High Plains Radio Network broadcast, and we want to finish up by just a few final thoughts. We want to thank all of our listening audience in Hereford and in Eastland County and in Deaf Smith County. We want you to know that we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you tuning in to us. And if you have a chance next week, tune in again and call in for us. And I want to say one last thing. We've got a lot of work to do in this country now. We're up against the wall here for America, but please, God bless America. God bless our troops. Tom, you've got the last word.
All right. We want to really encourage you to check out the KnowTheTruthRadio.org webpage, the HarrisonMoore.org webpage, and from the PreachersPC.org blog. We encourage you to listen in, and we're thankful that you've been in our audience. We pray that what we said today will encourage you in some way. And remember that you have heard what men have had to say.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.